Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It is a good day to be here at church. Let me start in a place that might be familiar to many. It's 9:30 at night. You've just finished putting the kids to bed, cleaning the house, and you've finally sat down, and you hear that unmistakable sound of a child getting out of bed, creeping through the house as if it's a part of a horror movie. And they come out to you and say, "Mum,
yes,
I have an art project due tomorrow." This is the first time I'm hearing of it. Sigh, okay, what do you need? I need A3 cardboard, I need texters. And you're thinking, okay, look, we've got that, you know. And I need to make an obscurest piece of art in the style of Mambo and then write a 3-page review of all the symbols in it. And you can't believe it. That very thin amount of patience you had is gone. And you launch into a lecture. "Back in my day, I would have never come to my parents expecting them to fix my problems for me, to do my homework. I would have done it earlier. And you know what? Back in my day, Mambo wasn't even invented. I would have had to come up with it myself." Now imagine you're the child in that situation. What are they hearing? They're hearing the parents say, "You are not as good as me." The parent is saying, "I am better." The parent is saying, "I am more righteous." And the child is thinking, "I suck. I'm pathetic. My parents are right. They are better than me. And all I do is make mistakes." What's wrong with that conversation? Now, there's many parts that we could say are wrong. But the key part of that conversation is that it lacks the gospel. It lacks the gospel. It lacks the good news of the gospel. The grace of the gospel, it lacks it because we so easily forget that we are more like our children than we realize. We are more like those that frustrate us than we realize. Now, you don't have to be a parent to understand this situation. It could be that you get frustrated with the sins of your parents. You get frustrated by co-workers. Anytime that we get frustrated with someone and think, "I could do better, I am so much better than you," we are forgetting the grace of the gospel. We all run the risk of not extending grace to those, particularly those who are close to us. But the good news of the gospel is a level playing field. It is easy for us to forget that we are plagued by the same sin and curse from Genesis 3 that our children are. We are in a series called Paradise Lost, going through the first 11 chapters of Genesis. But it's also Mother's Day. And it is a good chance to reflect on the importance of holding out the good news of the gospel, even to those who are most frustrating and we forget to extend grace. The challenge, the call for us today is to understand the level playing field for us all and for us to be ambassadors of God's grace. Let me pray as we have a look at the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to stop and celebrate those who are significant in our lives. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look at your word today, you would remind us of who we are and of who we are to be. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, this morning we're going to see who we are, and then we will see who we are to be. As people who regularly forget God's grace to ourselves and we feel guilt, and as people who regularly forget to hold out God's grace, we're going to go back to Ephesians 2 and remind ourselves of what God's grace is. Ephesians chapter 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And we all just felt a collective buzz in our souls as We were reminded, as for you, we were all dead. Now, the English language is pretty hopeless in a lot of ways. One of the key ways it's hopeless is we don't have a second person plural. The as for you is this is you all. Or as our dear American brothers and sisters would say, for y'all. And for others who would say, yous. As for yous guyses, as for all of you, for all mothers and fathers, for all grandmothers, for all children, for all workers, for all baseball players, for all people who have hair, all of you were dead. Dead. Dead in your sins, dead in your transgressions. Dead because of your deliberate acts of crossing a boundary, willfully choosing to disobey, but also falling short of God's mark. Transgressions and sins. It covers a full picture of our fallenness. We actively choose to follow the ways of the world, thinking that they will make us happier, more secure, more safe, more joyful than God's plan for us. This is the problem that we all face. As we've been seeing throughout the book of Genesis, the impact of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, they doubted God's plan for them. They doubted His goodness. We are complicit. And so we are both rebels against God and we are failures before God. And so because of that, we are dead in His eyes. There is no life in us. This is the truth of every single person before God. We might feel alive in the moment, but there is no way to have life with Him, to have everlasting life. Our lot is death. But, in verse 4, but is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. Anytime you find the word but in the Bible, just underline that, circle that. We were dead, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God has not left us for dead, but it is by grace you've been saved through faith. Not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. God, through His generous love for us, has given us salvation and grace and life. None of these are from ourselves. He delivers us from death and slavery and His wrath. And He doesn't even just make us neutral towards Him. It's not like He deals with our problems and says, okay, off you go. He draws us close to Him in relationship. He makes us His children, the relationship that was lost at the fall. Now, why am I talking about God's grace on Mother's Day? Well, this is what we always talk about. This is who we are. This is what we need to remind ourselves of, that we are sinful before God, but God loves us. But the goodness of this is that it is the great leveler. It is a level playing field. If you take this group and you compare it with whatever the kids are up to at the moment, no matter how crazy and chaotic they are, we are all the same. It's a level playing field. And so on Mother's Day, we celebrate the mums and the women in our lives. But it is very easy to pretend that everything is fine. We're a happy family. Everything's okay. We come into church with our Sunday best looking just right, particularly on Mother's Day. I may or may not have had a fight with some of my children this morning saying, no, you're not going to wear tracky dacks to church today. Maybe on another week, that's fine. It's Mother's Day. Look nicer today, just for this one day. And we pretend. And did you know that our car park is magical? Are you aware of this? Are you aware of the miracle of the car park? We've had a tough morning getting ready for church. Kids have made breakfast in bed for Mum. They've been so excited they've spilled half of it over Mum. And then because we're out of the normal rhythm of things, we're running late, and they're shouting at the kids, they're shouting at each other, put your shoes on. No, not those shoes. There's holes in them and it's wet outside. Get out the door. Stop eating that food. Put it down. Why haven't you done your hair? Where's your jacket? And you're fuming driving here. All you wanted was for it to be Mother's Day, and all I wanted was for my kids to stop fighting for 2 seconds. And you pull into the car, and you pull into the car park, and you say, "Kids, best behavior. It's Mother's Day." And you get out of the kids, and you plaster on those smiles, and we pretend everything is fine. "I don't need God's grace," we say. "I am fine. My kids are fine. They don't need God's grace. They just need to do what their mothers tell them." Ephesians 2 reminds us that we all need to do what our God has told us. But we willfully disobey. We have chosen to not do that. And so why should we expect our children to do that when we can't even do that ourselves? Ephesians 2 is the great leveler for us. We need to remember that we are all people who are sinful, and yet we are also all people loved by God. Parents, we need to remember this, to remind ourselves that God loves us despite our performance as parents. Because parents, you will let your children down. God loves you regardless. Adult children, those who have parents who might not have great relationships, your parents will let you down. You are to love them. You are loved regardless. At work, people will fail us. We should not pretend, however, that we are more righteous. We should remember Ephesians 2, that we are all the same and loved by God. So that is who we are. We are all fallen, all the same, all sinful, and yet God offers in His grace to love us despite us. But in God saving us through His grace, He gives us a new calling. He calls us to something different. He calls us to be who we are to be. We are to be ambassadors of grace. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to Him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against Him. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are called to hold out this same message that we've seen in Ephesians 2. We are all sinful, and yet God offers to reconcile us to Him. Dead, sinful people through God's love. But it is not just meant for us. This is to be a message we hold out to people. This is who we are meant to be as part of Jesus making us His people. People who want to see others reconciled to God. Paul describes it in verse 20. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." We are now to be ambassadors of God's grace, as though God was preaching through us. Ambassadors is this little word that conveys so much. If you think about a political ambassador who goes overseas, they represent Australia. We represent Christ. Everything we do is to represent Christ. Every act of mercy, every act of forgiveness and generosity in every moment, all I do and say is to represent Christ so that they would see the invisible King Jesus. When I'm driving with my kids in the car, when I'm at work or I'm studying, when I'm online, I'm to be representing the message, the method, the character of King Jesus. I am here as an ambassador to make the invisible King Jesus known, so that when He returns, they will see Him and already know Him. But even just saying those words, every time I exercise authority, I'm to do it like Jesus. Every time I discipline my kids, I'm to do it like Jesus. Every time I get frustrated and angry, I should do it like Jesus. Every time I need to be patient, I need to do it like Jesus. Every time someone sins against me, I'm to respond like Jesus. You know, even just saying that, I don't know how you feel if I was to say, just do all of that. It fills me with a certain sense of anxiety. There's no way I could do that. And I just want to say to God, God, I think you've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy. Choose someone better to be your ambassador. How am I supposed to be an ambassador of grace to my kids, let alone the wonderful, lovely people I work with? What about the people in my family who really make me frustrated? What about the guy who just cut me off in traffic? And he really needs to know that he did the wrong thing with me being quite loud and verbal to him. God, how am I supposed to be an ambassador of grace? I'm sure there's a mum sitting here this morning who feels like a hypocrite. Like, I tell my kids that Jesus loves them and he forgives them, but I really struggle to do that myself. There's a person here, I'm sure, who hasn't spoken to their parents for ages, and they're struggling because their parents have hurt them. There are people sitting here holding a lot of pain that they've found it hard to forgive. I can't be an ambassador of grace. It is too hard. I can't do it. They've sinned against me. And we forget that we sinned against God so much that his son died for us. God has placed people in our lives. He has placed children in our lives, our family, our parents, the people we work with, deliberately. It is part of God's plan for us. Now, I don't know your family situation. I know there's been a couple of people that I've spoken to in the last week that have had a lot of family pain, and to show grace is hard. Paul Tripp has a quote. Paul Tripp is a pastor. I believe he's written the book called Parenting up the back. He's got a wonderful mustache. Paul Tripp says, if your eyes ever see or your ears ever hear the sin, the weakness, and the failure of your children or anyone else in your life, it's never an accident. It's never a hassle. It's never an interruption. It's always grace. There will be pain. There will be hurt. But they are opportunities to show God's love, to show that God forgives us and we can forgive others. The hard truth is that God will not choose to do that in easy situations. He will not do it when you are well rested. He will not do it when you've had just the right amount of caffeine in that day. God will call us to offer love and forgiveness when it is hard. But as Tripp says, a family is not meant to be comfortable. A family is meant to be transformational. In February 2020, Daniel and Leila Abdullah lost half their children and a niece in a horrible car accident by a driver three times the limit speeding and crashing into them. Despite the horror, they have somehow managed to forgive. Leila Abdullah said, I have been practicing forgiveness all my life on a daily basis. When you forgive your parents, your siblings, your friends, your spouse, these are all small acts of forgiveness. But overall, you have to start forgiving the little things in order to be able to forgive the big things. I'm not sure how I would go trying to be an ambassador of grace, extending love and forgiveness to the person who is responsible for killing half of my family. But she is right. We practice love and forgiveness in the small things, so we're able to do it in the big things. The opportunity to be an ambassador for grace for the Abdullah family did not come at an easy time. Brothers and sisters, God has placed us where we are to make the grace of the invisible God visible in people's lives, to show God's love, and to take the truth of God's word in the Bible and to make it real in their lives. We are to know who we are, sinful and yet loved, know who we are called to be, ambassadors of God's grace. Let me come back to that story I was telling at the start of the sermon about the art project that needed to be done. Imagine if instead of responding with anger and frustration, you responded by saying something like this. Child, I know how you got yourself in this mess because I am exactly like you. I tend to prioritize the things that I enjoy and I put off the things that are hard until I myself get in trouble. I am like you. But hear me, my child, there is help for you and for me because God has sent his Son to live the life that we could never live, to die a death that we should die, to rise again, conquering sin and death. So on this Tuesday night, you and I could be rescued from this, so that on Wednesday morning, we could be rescued from us. There is help for us, because you and I, my child, we can run from a hard situation, we can run from a location, we can run from a circumstance, but we can't run from us and who we are. Our problem is us. And I'm not going to take this problem away. I'm not going to take this assignment away. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to write a magic note for you that's going to tell your teacher that you can be off the hook. But God loves you, and he's already provided what you need in moments like that. I love you, my child. Go to bed. Don't we all want people forgiving us and showing us grace like that? Don't we all want to be people who can show God's love and grace like that? If you don't know this Jesus who shows us this love, come and talk to me, speak to the person who brought you, because you need to know this God, because we can't keep running from who we are. Mother's Day is a wonderful day to celebrate the mums, the significant women in our lives, the things they do, the love they show. And it reminds us of the amazing love, the grace that our God has for us, and the grace that he has called us to show. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have rescued us from us, that you have saved us out of your great love. Heavenly Father, you know of the pain of our lives, of the challenge of relationships with those who we try to love. Father, we ask that you would remind us of your love, that you would help us to extend forgiveness and to be ambassadors of grace. Lord, make us like you, we ask. In your Son's name. Amen.